Here we are in New Dwarka, listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, which Prabhupada entitles Creation, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Save, today's verse number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ma, mangstha, hi, etad, ashcharyam. Sarvascharya maye chute ya idam mayaya devya surjati avati hanti ajaha ma mangsta hi etad ascharyam Sarvascharya maye chute ya idang mayaya devya srijat yavati hanti yajaha mamangstha hi etad ascharyam Sarvascharya maye chute Ya idang mayaya devya srijat yavati hant yajaha mamangstha hi etad ascharyam sarvascharya maye chute ya idang mayaya devya Srijat Yavati Hunt Yajaha. Kindly chant.
Yeah.
Ma, do not, Bangsta, think, he, certainly, etat, all these, Ascharyam, wonderful, Sarva, all, Ascharya Maye, in the all mysterious, Achyute, the infallible, Ya, one who, Idam, this creation, Mayaya, by his energy, Devya, transcendental, Srijati, creates, Avati, maintains, Hanti, annihilates, Ajaha, unborn. Please respond. O Brahmanas, do not think this to be especially wonderful. In the activities of the mysterious and infallible personality of Godhead, by his own transcendental energy, he maintains and annihilates all material things, although he himself is unborn. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The activities of the Lord are always inconceivable to the tiny brain of the living entities. Nothing is impossible for the Supreme Lord, but all his actions are wonderful for us, and thus he is always beyond the range of our conceivable limits. The Lord is the all-powerful, all-perfect personality of Godhead. The Lord is 100% perfect, whereas others, namely Narayan, Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, and all other living beings, possess only different percentages of such perfection. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is unrivaled. Trinadipi sunichena Tarariva-sahishnuna Amanina manadena Kirtaniya sadahari Harinama 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 iva kevalam Kalo nasyeva 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 gatir anyata. So the first two words, ma mangsta, do not think. This whole process of Krishna consciousness is a process of changing the materialistic way of thinking. The scriptures, the spiritual master, they give us the proper vision or the correct way of seeing things. When one is perfectly when one is perfectly Krishna consciousness, then he or she sees everything the same way Krishna sees it. The conditioned soul, he or she sees things different from the way the Lord sees. So all throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we are being told how to think. For instance, we learn from Prabhupada's teachings that although the deity is certainly made of wood or stone or bell metal, we are not to see in that way. We are to see, here is God, not some idol. So right from the beginning, in order to advance or progress in Krishna consciousness, you have to see things differently. One of the examples I give, how to understand Krishna consciousness. Because also in today's verse, this word ashcharyam, wonderful, and in Prabhupada's purport, inconceivable. Inconceivable means you're not going to be able to understand it materially. So the example I give, how to accommodate an elephant on a dish. That doesn't exist, an elephant on a dish. But that kind of thinking is required in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The story, how Narada went to the sages and they asked him, what was Narayan doing? And Narayan had told Narada, tell them that I am threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So the brahmanas did not have, obviously, this consciousness of being able to accommodate an elephant on the dish. They were thinking materially, oh, Narada, I don't think you saw Narayan. He's threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. That means, although they were brahmanas, they did not have this understanding, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that the Lord is inconceivable. But yet, the simple cobbler, when Narada told him, because he asked the same question, what was my Lord doing when you spoke to him? And he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. The cobbler, oh, fantastic, how wonderful. And Narada said, you believe that? He goes, of course. Because the simple cobbler had this appreciation of the achintya shakti. That's the term. Achintya shakti. That yes, and then he gave the example. This cobbler was more realized than these smarta brahmanas. That here's this banyan seed, tiny banyan seed, and in that banyan seed is the ability to create a big banyan tree. Anyone who has been under a banyan tree, it is a most unbelievable creation of the Lord. Such an amazing thing. But the cobbler had this understanding of achintya shakti. Jiva Goswami says, without this understanding of achintya shakti, then your understanding of God is deficient. Because this is key. Same thing. How do we to believe that a 7-year-old boy can hold up a mountain for 7 days and 7 nights? Materially impossible. Or when Narada went to see Krishna in Dwaraka. Now, Narada Muni has all mystic powers. And he knows that the yogi can expand up to 8-9 times. As we read about in the narration of Kardama Muni. How he impregnated Devahuti, 9 different Kardamas, giving birth to 9 daughters. So, this inconceivable potency. So when Narada went to see Krishna in Dwaraka, he saw when he went to Rukmini's palace, Krishna was doing one thing. Then he went to the next palace. Krishna was doing something different. Then he went to the next palace. Each palace that he was going to, Krishna was doing something different. The yogi expansions is like the TV screens. They're all showing the same channel. So the yogi expansion is like that. Yes, they can expand 8-9 times, but they're all doing the same thing. But Krishna's expansions are different. Each one was doing something differently. When Krishna would, at the end of the day in Dwaraka, enter that particular gate, which was the entrance to the 16,108 palaces, one Krishna would then come out to be 16,108 Krishnas. This is achintya shakti, inconceivable. So that is how we are to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya also says, Srimad Bhagavatam is inconceivable. But because we accept the words of Vyasadev, the incarnation of Godhead, Bhagavan, Rishi, and because we hear Srimad Bhagavatam through the vision of Srila Prabhupada, that's very important, to see Srimad Bhagavatam through the explanation of Srila Prabhupada, through his vision. As he chastised once, do not think that writing these books are ABC. No. And Prabhupada said, the reason people like my books, realization. That's why Prabhupada's books are so potent. He has realization. So this word, Ashcharyam, wonderful. This word appears in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There the word is translated amazing. So some describe the soul as amazing. Some hear of the soul as amazing. But some, even after hearing, cannot accept. And that's another point. In second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada points out that this understanding of soul and God, that is only given through the scriptures. Other than the basis of the scriptures. No, this is how we know God and the soul exist. Because it is stated in the scriptures. Prabhupada, in the Ishopanishad, they included that lecture that Prabhupada gave in London, Conway Hall, 1969, where Prabhupada is explaining why we accept the Vedas. Apaurusheya. The Vedas are not spoken by any mundane personality. When we get to second canto, we will read the narration how Lord Brahma gets the original transcendental knowledge. But from whom? Narayan. Four nutshell verses of Bhagavatam is given to Lord Brahma. Then subsequently we get the Vedas and all this other stuff. But the original knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by God. So we have to appreciate what we are studying is not ordinary. It is Ashcharyam, wonderful, amazing. I testify. How is it I became a devotee? Yes, prasadam. Yes, the association of devotees. But the initial thing was Prabhupada's books that are wonderful, that are amazing, such as Krishna book. So, then it says, Ashcharya Maye, in the all mysterious. Yes. This is also mentioned in that second canto when Lord Brahma receives the knowledge. Before getting the four nutshell verses, Narayan says to Brahma, yes, knowledge about me is mysterious. In Bhagavad Gita, rahasyam hitad uttamam, that Krishna explains to Arjuna, rahasyam hi etad uttamam. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental mystery. It's not ordinary. Then we have, yes, achute, the infallible. That is another way of understanding God. Infallible. He cannot make a mistake. You may think he is making a mistake. You may think, oh, Krishna is violating the Vedic rules. No. He's infallible. He cannot make a mistake. He's above everything. Lord Chaitanya says that if anyone thinks that when God comes down to this material world and he's affected by the material energy in any way, that person is a Pashandi, an atheist. God cannot come under the control of the illusory energy. That would make the illusory energy supreme. But no, he, no matter what he does, when he comes, he's always transcendental. This is a fundamental understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. He's infallible. He does not fall. He does not fall. When Krishna was instructing Arjuna in chapter 4, Krishna said, Arjuna, both you and I, we have had many births. I remember all of them. You do not. There is the difference between God and everyone else. Same point. When Krishna appeared to Devaki and Vasudev in the prison, they were unaware. And Krishna said, this is the third time I am taking birth as your child. They didn't remember. But Krishna knew very well. And then he went on to tell them, previously, you were Prishni and Sutapa. I was your child, Prishni Garba. Then you took birth as Aditi and Kashyapa. I took birth as your child, Vamanadev. Now this is the third time I am appearing as your child. And after this, you are going back home, back to Godhead. They didn't know that. Krishna had to tell them. So the Lord is infallible. He comes, does not change his body. We have had so many bodies. We've had so many dhotis, so many kurtas, so many automobiles. Right? But we're the same person. Whether you drive this car or that car, it doesn't change you. You may think, now I'm driving Mercedes. Oh, I'm something special. No, you're still the same schmuck you always were. No, changing the car doesn't change anything. Right? We have somebody in a house, some white house. He's the same crook he was before. I'm not going any further, don't worry. I'm just making a point. The dress, the car, the building doesn't change anything. But Krishna, no matter which appearance he takes, he remains the same. He doesn't forget. Therefore, he is achyuta, infallible. Then it says, Maya, by his energy, yes, parashya shaktir vividhaiva suryate. All the energies are Krishna's energies. Therefore, what is Maya? What is illusion? Maya or illusion is to think that there is some state of existence independent and separate of Krishna. That's Maya. But when you're in Krishna consciousness, you understand, everything I see belongs to Krishna. It's not mine. Everything is Krishna's property. A lusty boy sees a beautiful flower. He thinks, I'll pluck this flower, give it to my lusty girlfriend, and we will enjoy. A devotee sees that same flower and thinks, oh, what a beautiful artistic painting of my Lord Sri Krishna. Takes the flower, offers it to Krishna. Same activity, but the consciousness is different. Because the devotee learns how he is reprogrammed into his original thinking. Originally, we were in Krishna consciousness. originally. If you have ever read Dhrutakarma's brilliant essay, this point is hammered. Originally, we were with Krishna. The original state is Krishna consciousness. But due to material association for millions of lifetimes, we have developed a different kind of consciousness. And that conditioning is very deep, very thick. So we have to reprogram. Just like your computer. If it gets a very serious virus, they have to do that. Do a whole reformat. So what does Lord Chaitanya say? Jayato darpanam marjanam. Reformat the consciousness. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You reprogram the hard disk of the heart. And we make it little by little cleansed. Little by little. With each mantra, the consciousness is being cleansed. So the devotee understands whether it's the material energy, the spiritual energy, the living entity energy, they're all Krishna's energy. They are not independent. When Krishna was instructing the gopis, when Uddhava brought the letter from Krishna, same point was being stressed. There is no separation. Thinking there's separation is Maya. Because everywhere, everything you see is Krishna. It's just a matter of understanding it. First comes acceptance. We accept the version of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We accept it intellectually. Then we start to apply the process, hearing, chanting, hearing and chanting, day after day after day. Gradually, realization comes. So everything is Krishna's energy. Then, transcendental. The Lord is transcendental. This I already mentioned. That even He comes to this material world, He is not affected. He is always in a transcendental situation, in the fourth dimension. Then we have Sujati, Avati, Hanti. Creates, maintains, annihilates. But for creation, well, Lord, yes, the Lord creates the original 16 elements, but Brahma is given the service to engineer the creation. So, Lord Brahma is called the creator. He engineers the construction of each universe. But His potency comes from Krishna. That is also explained in that second canto sequence. Brahma wanted to create, but didn't know how. Then Krishna gave him the four nutshell verses of Bhagavatam. Now he knows how to do the creation. And the potential power, Krishna says, tapa, austerity. You want to do anything in this material world, even on the material plane, it requires austerity. You want to be super athlete? Austerity. Penance. What we are doing is the supreme penance. Celibacy. Supreme penance. Rising from Mangalarti. Attending the morning program. Chanting the Maha Mantra. The entire program of Prabhupada is tapa. Tapo divyam, Rishabdev will say. Tapo divyam. Transcendental divine austerities by which you regain your, again, original consciousness. So, Lord Vishnu, expansion, because interesting in the purport, how Prabhupada, when he says the Lord, He's talking about Krishna because he says the Lord, whereas others, Narayan, Brahma, Shiva. So obviously the inference is the Lord is Krishna. And that is one of the fundamental principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. We learned in the third chapter. We learned that when Suta Goswami explained a list, just a short list of 20 or so avatars. Ete changsakala pungsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And the word is given, Krishna. Doesn't say Shiva. Doesn't say Brahma or Durga or Ganesh. Specifically, it says Krishnastu. What does that indicate? Same thing Prabhupada is saying here. He is 100% perfect. But then again, my original point, accommodating an elephant on the dish. When we read Lord Chaitanya, we read Nectar of Devotion. Krishna is perfect in Mathura. But he's more perfect in Dwarka, huh? What does that mean, more perfect? Again, materially, that doesn't make sense. But we're not on the material platform. Step outside your body, Prabhu. You're not your body. Come to the spiritual platform. And then, where is Krishna most perfect? Vrindavan. Perfect? More perfect? Most perfect. Dig it. This is Krishna consciousness. You have to stop this cripple-minded, narrow-minded, materialistic understanding, which is simply conditioning. That's all it is. Conditioning. So, in terms of maintenance, Krishna gives that over to his expansion, Vishnu. And as far as destruction, he gives that service over to Lord Shiva. That's why the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, one of those most powerful, Ekale Ishwar Krishna, Ar Sabha Britya. The supreme, and again, he makes it very clear, the supreme controller is Krishna, not somebody else. Krishna. Ar Sabha Britya. Everyone else, Krishna's servant. Where does it begin? Balaram. And he's God. Yes. And one of the teachings of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the question is asked rhetorically, who do we find that does not have this attitude of service to Krishna? Yes, only those who are an illusion. But those who are not an illusion, they have this attitude. I am nothing more, nothing less than the eternal servant of Krishna. And that is bliss. That is the bliss. The bliss is in that understanding and living. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Where did we learn all this? We learned that from Srila Prabhupada's books, taught over and over and over again. Why? Some people, they have said, I don't like reading Prabhupada's books because he says the same things over and over again. Yeah, there's a reason. Because our skulls are so thick and our material conditioning is so heavy that things have to be said. Like ladies who are married, you know very well. You have to tell your husband one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six. Still he doesn't get it. I have lots of experience. Yes. So, our conditioning, our rebelliousness is very, very long, deep, thick, condensed. But, as I mentioned in a previous class, we have the Brahmastra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. All right. Any discussion today? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, wait for the microphone. Good idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, no, you better, don't wait. Time, okay. Go.
No, I've heard that the process of reincarnation is to basically teach the conditioned soul that we actually don't belong here.
That we don't belong here. Yes.
So my question is that some people remember their past lives and things in the books of their past, but I think the same is that most people don't remember. So if we don't remember our past lives, then how are we going to learn?
Original point. Prabhupada mentions this in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Without the scriptures, you won't know that there's a soul or that there's a God. So that's why what you are doing is the most important activity. You are distributing Prabhupada's books. If they don't get Prabhupada's books, they will rot here in this material world for trillions of lifetimes. Durga Devi told Haridas Thakur at the time of her initiation, Haridas Thakur, guru of Maya Devi. She said to Haridas, right now there's a flood of love of Godhead due to the presence of Lord Chaitanya. But anyone who does not get swept up in that flood will be delivered from millions of kulpas. Kulpas, a day of Brahma. A day of Brahma is millions of years. So, unless we go out and distribute Prabhupada's books, they won't be delivered. And as I mentioned previously, if the advanced devotees don't go out and preach, who will? The neophytes? You want to be an advanced devotee? Very simple. Go out and preach. Distribute book. Distribute book. Otherwise, no. They're not going to understand.
I have a question regarding Krishna's statement in regards to the Shiva and the Maharaj in their past lives. So correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Mother Yashoda and the Maharaj associates with Krishna? So how is it possible that...
No, that was so good.
No, no. Drona and Dara, go ahead.
So how is it possible that their past
we already learned a word today, achintya. This is all part of Krishna's inconceivable plan. You understand now? Yes. That's right, just like Krishna. That's right. That's why it's far out. That's why these books are so, what was the word today? Ascharya, wonderful. Yes. You're starting to understand how wonderful this knowledge is. And you too. You go out and give Prabhupada's books, right? Fantastic. Wonderful. More questions. Yes?
I've heard that the liberation actually happens to the person while they're still alive. Not actually when we die. When you leave the body. How does that...
Well, okay. No, you can get liberated at the time of death, but there is a kind of liberation, jivan mukta, that you are so absorbed in service to Krishna that the subtle, gross body is completely destroyed and the pure soul emerges. Like Srila Prabhupada. Why do we worship Srila Prabhupada? He's not just some guru. There are billions of gurus. But why are we worshiping this one? Because he was jivan mukta. He was liberated in this lifetime. How do we know that? Because at the age of 70, he came on a boat. What, to go to Disneyland? No. He came to deliver Krishna consciousness, suffering two heart attacks on the boat. almost 1 year, not getting any success. But then, from the year 66 to 77, amazing things happened. This temple happened during that time. So, but if one is 100% engaged in Krishna conscious activities and does not come down from that, then you are considered liberated in this lifetime. Okay? So that's why we say, perform, and this is mentioned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. When in chapter 14, Arjuna asks the question to Krishna, how do I get liberated? Krishna says, if you are engaged in bhakti yogena, devotional service, without falling down, that's the key. My favorite story. When sannyasi went to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I fell into Maya. Prabhupada said, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So, the thing is, we are sometimes engaging in devotional service and sometimes not. But when it's 24-7, 365, day after day, and you're steadily engaged in devotional service, you're liberated. Good luck. Chant Hare Krishna. Engage in devotional service. Are we good to go? All glories to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement.
You want the garlic? Are you going out today?
No, I'm not going.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hare.
So, was that single, double, triple, home run? What is it?
Home run.
Home run. All right.
I can look like a really good dessert.